If you will, please, I want you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to be reading that in just a little while. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I want you already there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1st of all, I want to make mention of the ladies' Patriot brunch that was yesterday. I heard that there's a good crowd of people. So thankful for Sarah and all the hard workers and putting that together. Appreciate that so very much. Today we're going to be talking about putting our mission or God's mission into action. And as you read through the book of Acts, you discover that the spontaneous growth that occurred in the early church. And here's just a few sampling, okay, in the book of Acts. In Acts 2 verse 41, it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And Acts 2 verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. In Acts 4 verse 4 it says, but many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. That was just the men, not including women and children. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. In Acts 11, verse 21, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Acts 14, verse 21, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Acts 16, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Now, these passages and many more reveal that God places great importance on numerical growth in His church. Because numerical growth means more souls being brought to Him. Amen? That's what it means. But what made the early church different? Why were they different? Why did they experience continuous, spontaneous growth, whereas many churches today are barely hanging on? I mean, was it because the early church didn't experience any outside pressures? Was that the reason they grew? I mean, they lived in an immoral society just like we do today. They had crooked politicians just like we do today. They lived in a poor economy. They experienced outside pressures of temptations. Their belief and Jesus, as the Son of God, was even more unpopular then than it is today in America. And yet the church flourished and grew by leaps and bounds. Maybe they didn't have any interpersonal struggles like many churches today. I mean, as you read through the book of Acts, you'll find about as many scripture that reveal the relational problems that the early Christians had with each other as there are passages that talk about their numerical growth. I mean, the early church grew because they were mission-minded, understanding that God had a purpose, a mission for them to expand His kingdom by growing His church both spiritually and numerically. And the mission that God had for the first century church is the very same mission that God has for His church today. The exact same mission. Friends, we are to be a people on a mission. People on a mission move. They let nothing to stop them. They are not distracted by side issues. They focus all their energies on getting their mission accomplished. People on a mission do whatever it takes in accordance with God's will to reach their goal. But people who are not on a mission, I mean, they spend time on the whim of the moment and wonder at the end of the day why nothing was accomplished. And so what I want us to do this morning, I want us to begin, number one, I want us to look at God's mission for His church, okay? God's mission for His church. Now, again, a church without a clearly defined mission, a plan or purpose, is destined to flounder. A church that is not mission-minded will allow other forces, such as, you know, personalities, finances, traditions, programs, even the unchurched, to drive it in many directions, resulting in unproductivity and frustration, thus nothing or very little gets done for God. The early church grew as it did because it was driven by the mission of doing God's will and only His will. In fact, Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, he says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose, say that with me, the Lord's purpose that prevails." Not the elder's purpose, not the minister's purpose, not the ministry team's purpose, not your purpose, but only by fulfilling God's purpose will His church prevail. Amen? Now, therefore, the starting point, I believe, for every church should be asking this question: why do we exist? I mean, why are we here? Why is Garfield Christian Church here? I mean, there's a reason for Jesus leaving His church on this earth. And the reason is to save the lost and strengthen the saved, all to the glory of God. I mean, Jesus, gave his life for the world, brothers and sisters. He gave His life for the world. And it's the church's responsibility to do, again, whatever it takes in accordance to God's will to get as many people to heaven as we possibly can. Amen? Amen. We want to get people to heaven. We want them to hear the message. Now, we want them to get mail, okay? We want them to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And so I want us to take a look then at our mission, okay? This is our mission. Really God's mission, okay? And I want you to repeat it with me, the top line here, that we are to connect with God, grow in Christ, serve one another, reach the lost. This is our mission. You know that mission. You see it every day on this wall. It's been there for several years now. Okay? In fact, I want people to see it when they leave this assembly, so we have it above this door as you leave the assembly to remind us that this is our mission. This is what we are to be about as a church here at Garfield Christian Church. And really, it's a simple mission with simple actions. Yet if we, you and I, truly put our mission to work, if we truly put it into action, we will experience continued spiritual growth within ourselves and numerical growth within this church. You see, our mission, your mission, my mission, God's mission, is based upon two things. Number one, it's based upon the Great Commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus gives us that great commandment. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. I left a part of that out, okay? But that's what it's about. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Jesus said, and love our neighbors as we do ourselves. In other words, that what the great commandment says, that we are to love God, love people. Say that with me. Love God, love people. But then secondly, it's based upon the Great Commission. Where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, he says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so what we are to do is to teach, baptize, and teach some more. Okay? That's what we are to be about. And God left the church on this earth to put His great commandment and great commission into action, because that is God's plan, His mission, to bring people to Him. Now we got to understand that that's exactly what the book of Acts is all about. I mean, the book of Acts presents the historic details of the Acts of the Apostles, and fulfilling the mission that Jesus Christ had given His disciples before He ascended into heaven. And of course, the word for Acts, you know, the book of Acts, the word for Acts, the root word for Acts, is action. And that's what we are to be about, is be people of action. I mean, the book of Acts presents God's mission for His church in action. I mean, it wasn't enough for the apostles to believe intellectually that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. They had to do something about it. I mean, just think about this. If after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the apostles, you know, would have just, what if they would have just stayed there in the upper room, you know, that we read about in Acts chapter 1? And they stay there in the upper room, and they kind of talk among themselves about wasn't it so great to be with Jesus? I mean, and they talk about how great it was to be with Jesus, to witness His miracles, to see Him die on a cross and rise from the dead, and watch as He ascended to heaven. If all they did was talk about it, friends, the church would have never been established if all they did was just talk about it. And if the church wasn't established, we would not be saved today. Okay? We would not be saved today. But we got to understand, the church is here today because the apostles and disciples of Jesus put God's mission for His church into action. And that's what we are to do, brother and sister. We are to put God's mission into action. So let's take a look. Secondly, let's take a closer look at our mission, okay? A closer look at our mission. Number one, we are to connect with God. Say that with me. Connect with God. Now, I want you to listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to listen to Paul as he describes how a true encounter with God in worship had an effect on an unbeliever, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is talking about, this is the chapter talking about the worship assembly. And I want you to listen what he says to the Corinthian church, because, you know, he wanted them to understand, you know, where they were putting their emphasis on speaking in tongues, without any interpreters. They said, people come to your worship assembly and they don't understand the word that you're even talking about. But notice what he says about sharing the word. Verse 24, he says, But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, you know, sharing the word of God, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. So what we see here again is an unbeliever who visited a worship assembly and was hearing the word of God being proclaimed. And he was convicted by the word of God, falls to his knees and said, God is really among you. Say that with me. God is really among you. Friends, it's this kind of connection with God that truly changes people. That's what changes us. You know, we today talk a lot about worship experiences. I mean, go to seminars and all, you know, and workshops and conventions, and there's going to be preachers and people up there talking about the importance of your worship experience. But did you realize that countless things are offered up as worship experiences that are mere substitutes for real worship? They're just substitutes. I mean, which experience is worship? Celebration? Confession? Contentment? Maybe brokenness, fellowship, humility. Which act is more worshipful? Clapping hands. I do it. Man, I do it with songs. Maybe crying is more worshipful. How about raising hands? Or bowing one's head? How about standing? Kneeling, falling on your face, laughing. You know, I have worshiped and done all of these things, and I have done all of these things without worshiping God at all. You know what I'm saying? We are not to confuse worship with worship experiences and expressions. We are not. What's most important is your encounter with Almighty God. That's what's most important. And sometimes your encounter with God may cause you to shout praises and clap your hands. Other times it may cause you to weep and fall on your knees. Or merely just sit there and utter silence. I mean, the true worship deepens our relationship with God and renews our spirit. True worship is the surrendering of our body, our spirit, and our mind to the one who created us. That's what true worship is. And it's this kind of connection with our Heavenly Father that enables us to say, God is really among us. Because we make that connection. So weekly action number one is this. That we are to come to worship. Say that with me. Come to worship. We need to be here worshiping our Heavenly Father every single Sunday if it's at all possible. But sadly, many Christians no longer make worship a priority in their lives. I mean, just look around. And when worship is no longer a priority, then our relationship with God is no longer a priority. And I've seen it in my own life. I have. And I have seen it in the lives of many of my Christian brothers and sisters. But yet, did you realize that Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, that God seeks worshipers? God seeks worshipers. He wants a full house. God seeks worshipers. So let's start seeking Him. But then secondly, we are to grow in Christ. Say it with me. Grow in Christ. Say it one more time. Grow in Christ. You know, when we gave our lives to Christ in baptism, the scripture says that we were born again. Just spiritual babies, you know. Spiritual babies. And the way that we grow in Christ is through the reading and studying of God's Word, which is our spiritual nourishment. God's Word. In fact, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, like those newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk of God's Word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. I mean, without its milk, a baby dies. And without the spiritual nourishment of God's Word, friends, we die. We need to grow in our salvation through the study of God's Word. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, he says, all Scripture, what is it? All Scripture is God-breathed, it's inspired by God, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is not a book of fairy tales. It's not fictional short stories. It's not simply, a self-help manual, with useful tips on how to have better relationships, improve your health, and invest your money wisely. It's not a collection of inspirational quotes that you can put on your Facebook page. That's not what this is. I am holding within my hands the actual Word of God. You know the one who created us? The one who sustains us? The one who is in control of the universe? The one who is going to say on the day of judgment, either come in with me or you're going to be lost eternally. That's the one that we're talking about, isn't it? And this book tells us not only everything that we need to know to be saved and go to heaven, but it tells us what we need to know how to live our lives from day to day is right here in this book. It's right here. Again, Paul said that it teaches, rebukes, corrects, trains, and equips. That's what this does. It teaches us about God, who God is, and what He has done for us. It rebukes us. It rebukes us of sin in our lives and shows us how to correct those sins and our faults and our mistakes that we make. It trains us how to live righteous and godly lives. It equips us with all that we need in the service of God and to each other. And without this book, we are lost. We're lost. Remember, the Hebrew writer tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Without hearing the Word of God, we can have no faith. And we would be lost. How many of you believe that God's Word is important? Will you raise your hand if you believe it? Okay, hands up all over the place. But we got to be honest here. Because most Christians do not read their Bibles. Most Christians don't read their Bibles on a regular basis anyway. In fact, according to Christianity Today, 80% of churchgoers do not read their Bibles. 80%. And that means out of 100 Christians, only 20 actually, pick up their Bibles during the week and read it. 20 out of 100. And I'm sure that holds true for most in this church as well as it does across the board. And since most Christians don't even open their Bibles except when they come into a group Bible class, weekly action number 2 is extremely important. And that is that you need to join a Bible study group. Join a Bible study group. It's extremely important. Garfield Christian Church presents many opportunities for you to be involved in a Bible study. Sunday school classes, Wednesday night class. The ladies have a Bible class on Wednesday afternoon. There's the Sunday night youth group for our young people to be in a class. We're getting ready to start a small group Bible study on October 1st. We're going to have one here at the church on Sunday nights, 6 o'clock here at Sunday nights, where you can bring your kids to youth group and stay for a Bible study. Find a Bible study that suits you most and attend it every week, okay? Get into the Word. And please don't decide the only time I'm going to hear about God's Word is when I come to worship and in a Bible class. Open your Bible, okay? And start reading it. Open your Bible. But then number three. We are to serve one another. Say it with me. Serve one another. Now, the natural flow of connecting with God and growing in Christ is the desire to minister to those in need. That's what we are to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, Peter writes this. He says, each one, that means all of us, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. To do what? Serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various form. And then he reminds us in 1 Peter 2, verse 16, he says, live as servants of God. Serving is a way of life for the Christian. It's our way of life. God created us to be His servants to the world, brother and sister. Did you realize it? We are created to serve. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And the reason that Jesus left His church on this earth is to be an extension of Himself. The Bible describes the church as the body of Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. We become Jesus' extended eyes to see the plight of the lost and the helpless. We see His, we are His ears to hear their desperate cries for help. We are Christ's hands and feet to take us where the gospel, where people are hurting and to reach out to people with Christ's loving embrace. And we are His mouth to share the good news of the gospel, and to speak words of encouragement to bring salvation and hope. That's what we are to be about. And in this church, I'm going to tell you, we're small, but this church is blessed with some great servants. We are. We're blessed with some great servants. There are those in this church that all you have to do is call and they will be right there helping you with whatever need you might have. They're right there. But they can't do it all. They can't do it all. And there are so many needs in this church that are yet to be filled because we just don't have enough people who are willing to serve. And I know that being a servant of Christ is not a glamorous job, okay? It is not a glamorous job. But it is absolutely necessary to fulfill our mission to be the church that God wants us to be in this world. And so weekly action number 3 is this. Help in a ministry. I want you to say that with me. Help in a ministry. Find a ministry. Work in some capacity each and every week. And don't wait for someone to ask you to serve. Well, I'm willing to serve, but no one's ever asked me to, you know. They never asked me to be part of that ministry, you know, and all that stuff. Don't wait until someone asks you to serve. Look around you and see what needs to be done and do it, okay? We are to be servants. And then finally, number 4, we are to reach the lost. Say it with me, reach the lost. Again, the Great Commission, Jesus urged his disciples, that's you and me, he urged his disciples to share the good news of the gospel wherever we go. In fact, when he says go, the verb form of that means as you go. As you go. You know, as you go to work, as you go to, you know, watch the Colts game, as you go, you know, to the park, I mean, wherever you go, we are to look for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, I want you to understand, the lost is all around us. They're all around us. I mean, we come in contact with so many people on a daily basis. You know, co-workers, neighbors, friends, family. And yet, what efforts have we put forth to bring any of them to Christ? And I'm guilty of this as well. And sometimes God just gives me an opportunity. And for some reason, I blow it. Have you ever done that? But man, they're all around us. I mean, have we actually tried to tell them about Jesus? Have we at least invited them to come to worship with us? I mean, do they even know that you're a Christian? You know, the Apostle Paul understood the urgency in sharing God's word with one person who will in turn share it with another. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to turn your Bible there, you can. 2 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2, it will be on the screen. I want you to listen to Paul as he writes here to Timothy. Remember, Paul, this is Paul's very last letter. And Paul is getting ready to be executed. And so he writes his last letter to Timothy, his, you know, a young preacher that Paul describes as his son in the faith. And Paul, you know, even in prison, he's been sharing the gospel. In fact, the Bible tells us that because of Paul's imprisonment, the book of Philippians chapter 1 says, because of my imprisonment, he says, the entire palace guard, Nero's guards, have heard about why I'm here. They have heard the gospel. And so Paul then is wanting Timothy to understand, Timothy, man, it's up to you and people like you to keep the message of Christ going. And so he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think we just skipped through that already, I'm sorry about that. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul said, I want you to share it. Share the message with others who will in turn go out and teach others. Brothers and sisters, the church is always just one generation away from closing its doors. And that's why it's imperative that we are active in sharing the good news of Christ with everyone we know who is lost without Jesus. I mean, after all, we want them to be in heaven with us, don't we? We want them there. You know, we began this lesson by reading from the book of Acts, how the church grew by leaps and bounds. But did you know that the God who helped the early church grow by leaps and bounds, is the very same God that we serve today? And believe it or not, He still wants to see people saved. That's what God wants. You know, Paul, in writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, said this. He says, I planted the seed of God's word. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Okay? God made it grow. Paul said, I'm just out there planting seeds. I'm just out there sharing the gospel to anybody who will listen to me. But then Apollos comes along, and he's out there cultivating and watering it. God is the one who makes it all grow. I mean, Jesus then tells us in Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38, He says, the harvest is plentiful. Man, all we have to do is look out there. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. You know, God is the one who indeed causes the growth, but I'll tell you, He needs planters, waterers, and harvesters working in His field. And you have a God-given ability to be one of those. Or maybe all of those. Some of you are planters, okay? Some of you are planters. I mean, you have the ability to be very casually share Christ with others. I mean, you pique people's interest by saying simple things like, man, this was a hard week. If it wasn't for my church family, I would have never made it. Just something like that. Or to say, man, Jesus sure came through for me today. Or life would be so lonely without God. And what you're hoping to happen is someone's going to ask, well, what's up? What's going on? And you're good at dropping seed wherever you go, just dropping the Word of God and sharing the Word of God wherever you go, piquing people's interest and wanting to know more. Tell me more. Some of you are waterers and cultivators. I mean, you encourage those who are down. You invite people into your home to get to know them better. You look for those who have no friends, and you try to befriend them. People come to you for advice because they see Jesus in you. They see Him in you. And you look for opportunities to cultivate Jesus in the hearts of those you know. And then some of you are harvesters, okay? I mean, you have a deep passion for the lost. You're able to talk seriously with people about their salvation. In fact, you love to sit across from another person one-on-one and just studying the Bible. You love doing that. Sense when people are just almost to the point of making a decision to give their lives to Jesus, and you have the ability to urge them to do so. You see, what each of these, the planters, the waterers, and the harvesters, what they all have in common is that they are all out in the field. They're out in the field. I mean, they are where the people are intentionally planting, watering, and harvesting. Friends, the lost are not in this building. That's not where the lost are. I mean, the lost are out there in the field, in our neighborhood. There's something I want you to be praying about. The elders and ministers have, in our meetings, we've been talking about how can we get the message out there to our neighbors? To be able to just share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we get the message out there? And so we try lots of things. We have and we continue to do so. I mean, just recently, the flea market, I mean, it brought people in. And I'm going to tell you, Don Ralston was out there with some kind of makeshift thing that he was wearing around his belt that hung way down here. He looked like a gunslinger. And I don't even know what it was made out of. What was it made out of? It was nothing that he purchased, I tell you that. But it was this long thing, not this long. It was hanging on his belt on the side of his leg. And in that, he went and put flyers from Garfield Christian Church on there that talks about, you know, welcoming people to Bean Creek neighborhood, you know, to our flea market and welcoming people, you know, to this church. And he just goes out there and he was like Quick Draw McGraw. I mean, he was handing that stuff out wherever he went. I mean, he was out there planting seed. But we didn't have many within the flea market to stop at our table, the Garfield Christian Church table. Man, that's really the whole purpose of this, is so that we can see and talk to people one-on-one. And but yet, I mean, of course, that didn't stop Don Ralston. I mean, he was out there handing out flyers. I'm glad he wasn't arrested, because I think some policeman may think he was carrying and hiding it and maybe start pulling it on somebody. But they didn't come to the table. We had some. We had one lady who came. You know, I had put out there a sign that said prayer tent. And we did have one lady that came to me and said that she needed us to pray for her. And so I just took her back there in the agape room, you know, where it was nice air conditioned. She didn't want to leave, but we took her there, was nice air conditioned, and prayed with her, and, you know, gave her information from the church. And she said she's looking for a church home, hoping that one day she will be here. I saw Sheila. Sheila came there. Yeah, she was there, you know, stopped at our table. I was glad to see that. But, you know, in our meetings, we've been talking about how, what can we do to really reach out to our neighbors face to face? So what we are planning to do, and we want to make sure we're in the process of doing this, planning and working on this, a plan where you and I will be going out into the Bean Creek community that surrounds our building, you know, from the north and the south. You know, the north side of the creek to the south side of the creek, to go out here and start knocking on doors and sharing with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that's the way that we used to do it years ago? Man, I've been at this now for over four decades. And I've knocked on a lot of doors. And I tell you, we brought people to Christ. And I know that culture has changed, and a lot of things have changed, but I still believe there are people in our neighborhood who are hurting and who are wanting to find some answers and who are interested in talking to us about Jesus. But we want to hand out some, you know, some information, and we just want to ask people, what can we do? I mean, we need to reintroduce ourselves, brothers and sisters. I mean, we're Garfield Christian Church. They see us. They drive past our building every single day. But I guarantee you, if you ask a lot of people there in our neighborhood, where is Garfield Christian Church, they can't tell you. They can't tell you. And so we want to go to them face to face and say, introduce ourselves and say, we are here wanting to tell you that we are with Garfield Christian Church, and we want to know how we can better serve you. How can we better serve this community? We want to talk to people. Our deliberate focus is going to be where we can talk to them about Jesus. Because that's not what we're doing anymore. So will you be praying for that? We want to do this right. We don't want to just jump in and do something and not do it right. We don't want to fall flat on our face. We want God working behind us and God's Spirit within us as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our neighbors. So please pray that God will bless our efforts of planting, watering, and harvesting with amazing growth. Well, what can we do in the meantime? What can we do in the meantime? Well, you can put weekly action number 4 to work and simply start inviting your friends to come to worship. Invite a friend. Say it with me. Invite a friend. Start inviting your friends to come to worship. Okay? Have them to come. Ask them. Did you know that most people who visit a church assembly do so because they were invited by one of you? They were invited by a church member? So let's be out there inviting people to come to worship, okay? Our mission: connect with God, grow in Christ, serve one another, reach the lost. Are you ready to put it into action? Because that's what we need to be doing. And don't wait for a program, you know, before we can do this. I mean, you've got people you know, friends you know, family who are lost without Jesus. Start with them. Start with them to share with them Christ. Will you please? Start inviting people to come worship with you. Invite them to a small group. Invite them to, you know, just inviting people to come. Because that's what we need to be doing. I believe, and I've said this so many times, I believe the reason Garfield Christian Church is still here is because God is not done with us yet. We are still here because God's got a purpose for us. And maybe we really haven't been truly mission focused. It's been on our wall. You know, we see it every Sunday. But do we really put it to work? May God forgive us for not putting His mission to work. We're going to be singing the invitation song. And this invitation song, again, is just an opportunity for us to just look deep within our own hearts. To see where it is that we need to be growing ourselves. To see where it is that we may have failed the Lord in our life, in our mission. You know, it's the purpose is just for us to just realize, God, man, help me become more like what God, what you want me to be, what Jesus wants me to be. And so we're going to be, you know, singing this song here. And if there's something on your heart that you want us to pray about, if there's a struggle that you're going through, whatever it might be that you're going through, we want to be here for you. We are here for you. Just give us the opportunity to pray for you. Will you please? As together we stand and we sing.